important than another one. Okay, and that's reaching those lost people is going to be much, much more important when it's all said and done. So you have to think about that. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. There's a battle going on today. Excuse me, no talking when I speak, please, okay? Thank you, okay? There's a battle going on, all right? There's a battle for souls going on. And sometimes my mind is in a completely different place when we must have our mind set correctly to doing what the Lord wants us to do, all right? That's what we're going to talk about this morning, so let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just a great chance to be here. Father, thank you for the Christian school movement. When done correctly, trains up warriors for you, Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to play football and basketball, Father God. Not just to score well in SATs, but warriors for you that are out there making a difference in this world today. And Father, I think back to when I used to teach Bible at a Christian school and talked with one of my students a couple months ago who's now a police officer. And to this day, as he arrests people and they're in the back seat of his car, he shares his faith with almost every single person in that back seat. But as a sophomore boy, years ago, Matt learned how to share his faith, and Matt continues to boldly share his faith. Father God, raise up some warriors out of this school that are much more concerned about souls, Father God, than they ever will about a spirit week. Because we need to worry about the Holy Spirit and every day and every moment that the Holy Spirit gives us to serve you and glorify in a world that so desperately needs it. So we thank you for that. Father, walk me through this talk because I've never given this talk before, but make sure it glorifies your name by the time we walk out of here. And we thank you for it. We ask it in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? All right, grab your Bibles for me. All right, now, when we open up this book, remember what I told you last time. When you open up this book, all right, you do not open this book like a textbook. You do not open this book, all right, like a newspaper. You don't open up this book like a fiction book. All right, you don't open up this book like a magazine. You open this book like it's the Word of God, correct? I'm asking a question, correct? Correct. It is the Word of God. Every single time I open up this book, I expect God to drill me with something. I expect Him, okay? Have expectations this morning that you're going to walk out of here with some piece of truth that is shared out of His Word, all right, that can impact your life in the days to come. Make sure you have that mindset every time you open up this book. You just don't do your homework for Bible, and I did my homework. No, this is God's Word. It's lasted 2,000 years. It will last for eternity, by the way, the Bible says. All right? That's why you filter everything, as Terry said, back through this book. Anything I say, you filter back through this book. If it disagrees with this book, you need to stop listening to me. I just did a newsletter last month about a very famous Christian person that's been saying things out there that are not biblical. At all not biblical. Newsweek magazine, Larry King Live. He's not being biblical right now. I told people be careful. But my point of the newsletter at the end of it was, be very careful of Mark Cahill. Because if I ever get away from the doctrines of the church and I get into heresy, you take my books, you take my tracts, you take my recordings, everything, and throw them in a trash can. Get away from me. Pray for me to get back in line. All right? Does that make sense to you? You filter everything back through God's Word. Nod your head if that made sense. Okay? In the days to come, you got to be very careful. Just don't listen to people with microphones or even two microphones today. Okay? Just listen. Be careful. We can lie to you. I don't want to. But you got to know God's Word so you can tell if I am mistaken in what I just said. All right? Take your Bibles. Open to the book of Ephesians. Okay? New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So it's right there in the small letters of Paul. Second of the four together, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Ephesians 6, okay? Very famous section that you've heard before, but I want to throw a couple things at you today, okay? Go to Ephesians 6, going to verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Now, this is where you hear the armor of God stuff. You've heard this before, okay? But I want to challenge you with a couple things this morning. Go to verse 10. Finally, my brethren... Finally, he's ending up a letter. You always end up letters with something strong, okay? You end up talks with something strong. I wonder what he's going to end here. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. First thing, your power must be in Jesus Christ. The Lord must be your strength in the days to come as this world gets very, very interesting to live in. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Young people, there's a battle going on. The battle for you last week was to be more concerned about your week off instead of concerned about the souls you ran into last week. The people's lives you could have impacted, but you chose not to. Okay, that's the battle for Christians out there. There's a battle waging right now, and Satan is a major player in this battle. All right, let's watch where this goes. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Young people, you have to understand there is a realm around us, all right, from angels and demons around us. There is a battle, a spiritual battle waging around you that your physical eyes cannot see. But the Bible is very explicit that this is happening around us, and we must know that because Satan's trying to win a battle, but yet we as Christians should be trying to win a battle, all right? Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 4 for me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, go to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4, let's look at verse 2. Familiar story. Think about it though. Okay? Verse 2, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. All right? Holy Spirit leading him. Make sure the Holy Spirit leads you as you walk through this life. All right? Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended afterward, he was hungered. All right? How many of you have ever fasted before? Have you ever fasted? Raise your hand if you've ever fasted before. Okay, when you finish a fast, are you hungry at the end of it? Yeah, you're starving half the time. Okay, that was always interesting to me. After 40 days, he was hungry? Of course he was hungry. He didn't eat for 40 days, all right? But see, what did it say? Satan was going to what? Tempt him. Careful, folks. That's one of the tricks of the enemy. He's trying to tempt you to be concerned about something that has nothing to do with God. All right, watch where this goes. Verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay? Number one place you're ever going to get the word of God at, young people, is where? Speak to me, where? It's right here. Okay, I don't hear the audible voice, Lord. I have the written voice of the Lord, the written word of the Lord. I got to filter everything back through this book. You must be in this book, tearing this book up, knowing this book, all right? Living what God says in this book, okay? This is what's going to sustain you in the days to come as this world gets crazier and crazier. Go to verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, in whomever I will give it. Verse 7, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine, all shall be yours. See, you're going to worship something or somebody. The question is, will it be Jesus or will it be the things that Satan's tempting you with? Okay, watch where we go though. Go to verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought unto him to Jerusalem and said, he just won't give up, will he? And set upon a pinnacle. That's interesting to think about. I just realized that. He won't give up on Jesus. He's trying to get Jesus to fall. Is that not true? When Satan tries to tempt you, he just won't give up sometimes. He's trying to get you to fall into that sin to make sure you will not be that holy, righteous servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Verse 9, and he brought him unto Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any of them shall dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That's why you resist the devil, because when the temptation season, he will depart for a while. He will come back, okay? But that's why you stand against it under the power of Jesus Christ that Ephesians 6 said, all right? Go to Matthew chapter 24. Back up a couple books for me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. Matthew 4. Go to verse 24. And his fame, it's talking about Jesus again, went throughout all Syria. They brought him to all the sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and healed them, okay? Please understand that as I talk to you about the angel and the demon realm, okay, demons can possess people. You understand, it's a very common thing in Jesus' ministry to cast demons out, okay? Demons can't possess people. Imagine that's what they really want to do more than anything is to inhabit the flesh of somebody, okay? Go to book of John. Go to John chapter 8 for me. Go forward a couple books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John chapter 8. Go to verse 44. Jesus speaking. Jesus doesn't mess around. Jesus is very serious, okay? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Your father, folks, is either going to be the Lord God himself, or your father is the devil. Every one of you has a spiritual father. It is either the God of creation or it is Satan himself. That's why, all right, this statement's made here in John 8:44. Okay, all eyes up on here, please. All heads up, please. Heads up, please. Eyes up here, okay? Thank you, all right? You must understand, very serious, you have a father. It's either Father God himself or it's the father devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Did you see last week, young people, what happened at the Christian school, the Amish school up in Pennsylvania? When those young girls were shot and killed, I think five of them have died. See, when you see murder like that, that's the fingerprints of Satan. In Indonesia, or it's India, I'm mixing them up here, okay? In Indonesia, or in India, four teenage girls, 16 years old, were walking home from school just a few months ago. Raise your hand if you're 16 years old in this place. Okay? Four 16-year-old girls walking home today, a mob came. And I'm mixing this, it's either a Hindu or a Muslim mob came and actually attacked the girls just because they were Christians leaving a Christian school. Three of the four girls were beheaded. Okay? I saw a picture on the internet of the body laying there and the head laying off to the side. The fourth girl, they didn't get her head off. I just saw a picture on the internet. She was literally cut with whatever machete they type use, was cut across her face like this down to here. She has a scar across her face like this down to here. And she's going through all this plastic surgery, but the scar is never going to leave, all right? So not only does this young lady, okay, have to deal with the fact that three of her friends are dead and off into eternity, but at least she knows where they are because they were all solid Christian girls, okay? But now she's got to live with the physical scar in her face besides the scar in her heart. See, when I heard about that and I saw the pictures on the internet, fingerprints of Satan. He's the father of murder, all right? That's where it comes from. So who is your father? You've got one besides your real dad. You've got another father. The question is, who is it, all right? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Go towards the end of the New Testament. And right towards the end, a little bit before Revelations, you're going to hit 1 Peter, okay? Go to the book of James. And then right after James, you're going to hit 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Go to verse 8 for me, okay? So 1 Peter chapter 5 and go to verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, adversary means there's a fight going on here, there's a battle going on here. When's the football game this week? When is it? Friday night, okay? But you know what? Practice is one thing, but also when you line up against another team, the battle starts on, right? When that first kickoff goes, now it's time to fight, correct? Correct? Oh yeah, that's what's fun about sports. Practice is one thing, but let's get in the game, let's get it started, let's get it on, okay? Let's see if we can beat you on this field today. See, Satan thinks the same way, but his is a spiritual battle going after souls in this world today. His adversary, okay? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, all right? Just think about that word picture for a second. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is coming after you, folks. He is coming after souls. Two things will last for eternity. The Word of God will last for eternity. And souls will last for eternity. Those are the only two things that are lasting for eternity, okay? The Word of God and souls. That's why every soul that you ran into in the past week of your life, it's important where that soul spends eternity. It's important where every soul spends eternity. Remember Ruben Studdard? Remember him, the American Idol winner a couple years ago? I got a chance to witness him the other day, about a month ago in the airport. Got a chance to witness to him, okay? Fascinating talk, okay? I'm not concerned if you win the American Idol. I don't care if you get a $1 million contract. I do care where your soul stands with Almighty God. See, because that's what we have to remember. It's a battle on for souls. Watch where it goes. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. So you can resist when the adversary comes. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Remember something, in America, we're losing our rights in America. We get laughed at and things like that, but we're not getting our heads cut off yet for that in America. Okay, remember that. We can stand, but our brothers and sisters are going through a lot more than we are for Jesus Christ, all right? And then verse 10, but God, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. There is a battle on, and folks, he's coming for you. Okay? He's coming for souls, Satan is. I was speaking at a Christian school in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And a young boy came up to me after and said, can I talk with you? I said, yeah. He said, I am finally leaving drug addiction. I'm finally getting out of drugs. Okay, it's been such a tough thing in my life, but I've gotten born again. I've gotten saved. He said, but the other day I was in my garage. I was playing with incense, all right? A lot of drug people play with incense to cover the smell of different things, okay? And you got to be careful what you continue to play with once you leave something because it can bring things back. He said, I was playing with this incense. All of a sudden, this incense started bubbling up. And all of a sudden, just started bubbling up in a cloud. He said, it usually doesn't do that. And, it bubbles. And he said, all of a sudden, out of this cloud, this head began to form out of this cloud. He said, all of a sudden, these two red-piercing eyes popped out of this cloud, okay? He was having a demon manifest in front of him, okay? Now, he was not under any drugs or alcohol at this time. I always ask that question, and it doesn't mean it's not a real experience, but I always give those a lot less credence, okay? He said, this head began to form. He said, all of a sudden, he said, the cloud began to come out as like arms out of the cloud. He said, all of a sudden, these hands came out of this cloud. He said, all of a sudden, the demon grabbed him by the throat and threw him against the garage door, okay? And the demon spoke to him. And when the demon spoke to him, he said in a very grovelly voice, he said, I'm not going to let you go easy. You know, there's a lot of truth to that statement, okay? So you saw Satan not let Jesus go easy. He was trying to get him to fall. See, this is a very serious game if you decide to mess with things because there's a battle going on around you, but most of us aren't even concerned about it. Most of us aren't even concerned about maybe coming to the football game this weekend. And I know one Christian school in Birmingham that I spoke at that five young ladies walked across at halftime to go witness some young ladies on the other side. Four of the girls on the other side wanted to repent of their sins and become born-again Christians. That very next week, they were plugged into this girl's Bible study. Okay, because they just didn't see a football game. They saw an opportunity to make a difference for Lord Jesus Christ at that football game. One of my students, the point guard on my basketball team when I taught at a Christian school, Chris decided to mess with some different things that brought stuff into his life. One of the things that happened in Chris's life was that he was having a demon physically manifest in his bedroom. Okay, this demon would manifest at the door of his bedroom and begin to walk towards him in his bed. We'd be laying in his bed at night. Okay, and as the demon kept walking forward, it was literally like he had a cement block on his chest. The presence of the demon was holding to his bed. Very common thing I've heard from numerous people, and I've had happen to me three different times. Okay, if you don't even see the demon can still be there sometimes. Okay, and you get this heavy, not that you wake up scared from something, but you're literally held to the bed, and you literally cannot move, okay? And one time, and it's common too, sometimes you feel like there's like almost a hand at your throat clutching you where you can barely breathe or speak. Very common. The demon would walk forward, stand at the foot of his bed, okay? Chris would look at it, and all of a sudden the demon would begin to walk out, head out to the bathroom, and it would leave. There's only one problem. He's on the second story, okay? You can't just walk out the bathroom, okay? Well, his girlfriend gave him some advice, and I said, Chris, the next time the demon leaves and goes out, just go ahead and follow him. Okay, does that sound like good advice to you? Okay, that doesn't sound like good advice to me, okay? Be careful what girlfriends may tell you, fellas, okay? Well, so when the demon manifested again later on another time, it starts walking out. Well, Chris got up and decided to heed the advice of his girlfriend and begins to go after the demon, walk after him. He said all of a sudden the demon whipped his head around the corner, spoke to him in a very grovelly voice and said, don't you ever follow me again. Okay, I said, Chris, what did you do? I said, I dove back into my bed. Okay, all right, that's what I would have done too. Well, we took Chris up to Atlanta. There was a spiritual warfare expert in town, and I've heard this guy speak before. And so we brought him up here. We brought Chris's dad up, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. So the guy said, go ahead and draw this demon out for me. So he draws this demon out with a face, these red piercing eyes, very common thing, a black top hat type thing, and a long black trench coat. Interesting that you see so much the stuff of the school shootings with the black trench coat. All of a sudden, he draws the demon out. The spiritual warfare expert looks at him and says, oh, I said, I know who this is. I'm like, what? My jaw about hit the ground. What do you mean? What do you mean you know who this is? He said, this demon here is appearing to at least six different people that I know of right now. All right? So you have to understand, this is not a game. Okay? This is as serious as it gets. All right? Chris also was making mistakes with what he was putting into his life. He was watching things he shouldn't be looking at. One was a movie called Natural Born Killers, all right? And in that movie, there's a scene, I haven't seen it, where he goes out and he shoots and kills a police officer, all right? Well, Chris watched this movie 6 different times in the same day. All right, you don't do that with ungodly things. You don't even watch it once, let alone 6 times. Chris got in his car and was trying to get pulled over by a police officer to shoot and kill a police officer. Okay? So he is messing with the dark side. Okay? And the dark side don't play. Okay? He couldn't get pulled over. He was disappointed. Okay? Think about this now. All right? So he decided to drive home. As he's driving home, he's driving his truck home. He said, "Mr. Cale, all of a sudden I looked over and there was somebody sitting next to me in my truck. A demon literally manifested and was just sitting right there in the truck." I said, "Did it speak?" He said, "No, it just sat there." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I just was nervous. I was sweating." He said, "I just tried to stare forward and keep driving." He looked over there, and all of a sudden, a little bit later, he looked over, and the demon had just disappeared. See, he was messing with the dark side. But you have to understand, Satan, this ain't a game to Satan. Football's a game. One-on-one with the enemy is not a game. Take your Bible. Go to Luke chapter 9 for me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to Luke chapter 9. Go to Luke 9 and go to verse 42. Watch what it says, verse 42. Luke chapter 9, verse 42. "And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." Okay? The demon threw him down. The devil threw him down. You must understand, demons can get physical. Okay? I've met numerous people that have had demons physically manifest, but get physical with. All right? I was in a mall one day and I was talking with this guy and a girl, it was a boyfriend, girlfriend, and they were dressed up in all black, had all these safety pins on and stuff like that. So I walked up to them and just struck up a conversation with them. All right? They told me they were into black magic. All right? And black magic is worse than white magic, is what they say. All right? Now, let's just be very honest here. Who is the author of both magics? Lucifer is. Satan is. If you mess with white magic, another name for that is Wicca, young people. If you mess with magic arts, Wicca, number one best-selling book, teenage girls right now, is a book on Wicca. All right? If you decide to mess with white magic or black magic, you're messing with the dark side. But the dark side is going to mess back, okay? Think about that for a second. Be very careful of even Harry Potter. There's a study currently out of England that the teenagers who have gotten involved in Harry Potter, all right, I can't remember what the percentage was out of the study, has this much higher percentage to get involved into white magic, into black magic, into witchcraft. Okay? Because see, what Harry Potter said, soft witchcraft. But soft witchcraft can lead you to hard witchcraft. Okay? That's why you never put soft pornography in front of people. Because soft pornography can lead you to hard pornography one day, okay? And take you down a road you didn't really want to go down, all right? This girl was telling me that as she does these incantations, that she actually prays to Satan and stuff like that. And she tells me that these demons would physically manifest. But then she tells me there's good demons and bad demons. Okay, does anyone see a problem with this already? Yeah, they all fall into one category, okay? She said they were good or they were bad. Well, how'd you tell if it was a good one? She said, well, the demon would always stand there and have its heel up. And when the heel was up, it, depending on how many stripes were on the heel, was whether it was a good demon or a bad demon, all right? This sounds totally whack to me, okay? But that's what Satan is. He's a liar, all right? So she tells me one demon spoke to her and said, right now, all right, he said, I have power over you, but when you die, you will have power over me in hell. What did we just tell you in the book of John, chapter 8? He's called the father of what? Lies. Is that a lie she heard? I looked at her. I said, you just bought a lie. You will have no power over that demon in hell. Okay? Because God is the ultimate power when you walk out of it. She is buying the lie. Okay? This lady was so blasphemous. She would just blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. She told me what she would sexually do with Jesus if he appeared right in front of her right now. Okay, this girl was nasty, okay, evil, demon-possessed, okay? Witnessed to him games. I walked away. I said, Father, I said, if you can save her soul, I said, go for it. Okay, she was a tough one. I said, just go for it. I literally felt the Lord just pump me in my chest and said, wait a minute. deep in my spirit. I hear a voice deep in my spirit. He said, I saved your soul, didn't I? I saved Saul's soul, didn't I? Is that soul beyond the hand of God, that girl right there? Absolutely not, okay? That's why we have to walk in your life and tell them the truth. Because they bought the lie. It's our job to tell them the truth so they don't keep buying the lie, okay? Go to the book of John chapter 12, okay? John chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John 12. Know what your Bible says, folks. John 12, go to verse 30. John 12, 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The prince of this world be cast out. Please understand, Satan has power in this world. The prince of this world. All right? You know that from the book of Job also, he has power in this world, but only as far as God will let him go. Never forget that. Who's the ultimate power source in this world? Never forget that. I was in St. Augustine Beach, Florida a few years ago, and there was a guy walking down the side of the street with just long hippie hair on and stuff, so I decided to pull over and chat with him, so I just rolled down my window, and so he said, hey, how you doing? Good. So I threw a witnessing question out that I taught you last time I was here in March, threw a witnessing question out there, and he said, hey man, does it have to do with that? And in my front seat of my car, I had the Bible on cassette. So it was this big, huge thing, the whole Bible, about that thick. So, and right across, it said, Holy Bible, right across the top of it. Okay, so he knew exactly where I was going. I said, yeah, it might have to do with that. He said, well, I don't have anything to do with that. But when he reached in my car, he had a tattoo on his arm right here. And it was a pentagram. All right, you've heard pentagram before, very common thing in Wicca, very common thing in Satanism. I said, well, what's that? He said, that's a pentagram. I said, why do you have a pentagram? He said, well, I'm thinking about getting into Satanism. Okay. I said, I have one question. Why haven't you gotten into it? He said, that's pretty easy. I said, why? He said, because if I believe in Satan, that means I'd have to believe in the Bible. Because the Bible's where Satan came from. Is that correct? Is that right? You see, he's already thinking. I like this guy already, okay? But if I believe in the Bible, he said, why should I believe in Satan? I should believe in who? Who? Almighty God. See, this man was thinking. And all of a sudden it starts raining. I said, hey, get in my car. So I invite the Satanist in my car. And so he came and sat in my car. And we drove over to, I took him to a convenience store. And it just started pouring rain out. We had a 30-minute talk in that car about God and Jesus Christ, everything like that. Remember I tell you how to use things to get into conversation? He's been lied to. It was my job to give him the truth, all right? I was working at a prison a few years back. And I'm working at this prison. There were a whole group of people on the football field over there in a circle praying. So I was talking with these guys. I said, yeah, it's cool to see people praying at a prison. And the guy looked at me and said, well, you want, at this prison, you want to really find out who they're praying to. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, okay, go over there and find out who they're praying to. He said, all right. So he runs over there, talks to the guys. He runs back. He said, they're praying, all right. I said, well, great. He said, well, they're praying to Lucifer, though. There were a group of Satanists at this place. They were praying to Lucifer and Satan. I said, you're kidding me, okay? So later that day, I walked over towards where the Satanists were hanging out. I struck up a conversation with this guy, all right? He tells me that during one of his days as he prayed to Satan, Satan literally physically manifested, all right? I've met three different people that have told me it was not a demon. It was actually Lucifer that manifested, all right? Careful, all right? I said, what happened? He said, I was in this hallway, and at the end of the hallway, said, Lucifer manifested. Okay, and he knew instantly it was Lucifer. Now, how I know that, I don't know, but he just knew. I said, well, wait, what did he look like? He said, he was absolutely this most beautiful being. Okay, long flowing hair, just beautiful. He was just a being of light. He just had all this light to him. Oh my goodness, what do you know from 2 Corinthians 11? Satan can appear as an angel of what? Light, careful. Careful. This is amazing how this guy described this, okay? But he said, when I looked at Lucifer, all I looked at him as all I wanted was more and more and more. Isn't that the trick of sin? The trick of a temptation. Once you try a certain sin, you want to do it again and again and again. You want more and more and more. See, that's why he's the father of lies. He's trying to trick you to go down the wide path instead of staying on the narrow path, all right? I was talking to this guy in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I was out witnessing one night, and started chatting with him, and he told me that in his apartment that Lucifer literally manifested in front of his bed and just started laughing at him. Just laughing at him. Now, it's one thing to be laughed with somebody, but, you know, none of us like to be laughed at, okay? He's being laughed at by Lucifer, okay? And he tells me, I said, well, and then he said, he starts speaking. I said, well, he said, why are you laughing at me? He said, I'm laughing because of all that anti-Jesus music you listen to. And he was into all this heavy rock. How I got into a talk with him is he had a shirt on with some rock band, but it was mocking the crucifixion of Christ on the back. Got into a conversation with over his shirt, and this is where it all began. Because that music was leaning this guy totally away from the truth of Lord Jesus Christ. Two weeks ago at the Minneapolis airport, struck up a conversation with this guys. They all wound up being in a band. They were in a heavy, heavy metal band, a satanic metal band. The name of it was Destroyer 666 was the name of it. Okay, they're from Australia, touring America. Okay, think about this now, right? But see, they just totally worshipped Satan, all right? But if you walk down that road, there's going to be something down that road that you're not going to like, because that's a deception to get you to walk a little bit down there so he can get you forever and ever, all right? I had a teenage boy a couple years ago I was chatting with. He flatlined on an operating table. He had been in a car accident, and he flatlined. He told me his spirit rose up out of his body. And when it rose up out of his body, he could literally see it on the operating table, all right? And he said this evil presence came over him. He said he heard the most evil hissing laughter he's ever heard before. Common thing I get from people, evil hissing laughter they hear when they exit their body, when they're not right with Jesus Christ. And that boy looked at me, he was 16 or 17, he looked at me and said, I was so happy to get back in my body. I spoke at Clemson last year. A girl told me she was on her couch. She stopped breathing. She said, I died on my couch. What do you mean you died? She said, I stopped breathing. My spirit rose up out of me, and I could literally see my body laying on the couch. Very common thing when you have an out-of-body experience. You can see it there. People see that in operating rooms all the time. I said, what happened? She said, all of a sudden, she said, I could feel this cold, evil presence. All of a sudden, I heard the most evil, hissing laughter, all right, that I've ever heard before. All right. The girl looked at me and said, what must I do to make sure I never see or hear that again when I take my last breath? After a 30-minute conversation, she decided it was time to repent of her sins, become born again, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with her whole life. Okay, you must understand the realm around us is very, very serious. Okay, go to Ephesians 4 for me. Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Go to Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians 4, go to verse 27. Watch what it says just in 27. Neither give place to the devil. God is warning you, do not give place to the devil in your life, young people. This is where it starts for so many people, nice and young. As you give place to the devil. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give that him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Watch your words, folks. Your words either build up or they tear down. They either glorify God or they glorify Satan. One or the other. Alright? But he that which is good, to use to edifying, that it may be minister of grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Who is somebody in this school you need to forgive that has done something against you? Who is it? Okay, who do you need to forgive and ask forgiveness from? For me, it was the principal of my last school. When I left that school, I did not end well. Okay, and I had to go back to my principal and ask his forgiveness for how I ended. About 2 years later when I saw him later, but I had to make sure I got that straight. Okay, because you got to get that right. Who do you need to forgive or be forgiven from? Get that worked out now. I don't want to be enemies with that guy. He's a man of God. Okay, we were friends, it didn't end right. Mostly it was my fault, all right? He just recently had me speak at his school in Dallas because he wanted the same teachings for his kids out there because we got the situation right between us because we needed to as men of God to do that, all right? Roll to the book of Acts. Go to Acts 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. Go to verse 10. Acts 13, verse 10. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. Go to verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, that wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Easiest way to tell when you're being tempted is, will it pervert the right ways of the Lord? But that implies you must what? Know what? The right ways of the Lord. And you get it out of God's Word, like we started this whole day with, okay? If you know God's Word and know anything comes against that, that is of the enemy of God, not of God Himself, all right? Roll forward to 2 Timothy for me. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, go to verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He's trying to capture you, folks. He's trying to snare and take your mind and take your heart away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Give no place to the devil. Some things to watch out for, young people. Be very careful of pornography, young people. Careful. I know so many men that struggle with pornography. They started as young men with pornography. If it's an issue in your life, talk with your father about it if you can. If you can't, talk with one of the teachers here about that. Young ladies, be careful. It's just not a young boy issue anymore. I know plenty of girls getting caught up in pornography. It's that internet. It's that computer. Back in the day when I was a kid, it was magazines. I can tell you the first time I looked at pornography, I was an eighth grade boy. I was in the woods behind Don Anderson's house. Me and Terry Dwyer were back there. Terry Dwyer pulled out a Hustler magazine, and the centerfold still sits right there in my head today. Okay, because guys capture pictures with our brain and it still sits there. See, Satan's trying to cheapen your spouse one day, young ladies and young men, okay? Be careful of that. He's trying to snare you with. Be very careful for not. Be careful of the music you listen to. Very simple statement. Just look at the lyrics and the music you listen to. If you can listen to it before the throne of God, keep listening. If you couldn't listen to it before the throne of God, hit the delete button on your iPod and get rid of it. Take that CD and throw it in a trash can. When God convicted me on music, okay, I literally had to take over 100 CDs and drop them in a trash can. All right, because it was doing nothing. It was all my flesh liked it. It was doing nothing for my spirit. Be very, very careful. Be careful what you read. Be careful of role-playing games. I can't tell you how many people I know have gotten into the dark side through role-playing games. Vampire games, Dungeons and Dragons, okay? And they took it into... I met a group of vampires out on the streets of Jacksonville, on the boardwalk of Jacksonville, who were actually playing the game out. But then they got serious about it. It was just a game to start with. I don't know the name of the game. But they took it out, began to play it on the streets. But then they got very serious about this, okay? And doing things they shouldn't have gone anywhere near. Be careful of artwork. Okay, movies that you watch. TV shows that will be anti-godly, ungodly. I know some teenagers the other day, they walked out of a movie theater. They started walking into this movie and they realized a few minutes in, this thing was not godly, did not glorify the Lord. They got up and walked out of this thing. Does that take guts to do that? Yeah, that's the type of young men and young ladies we need to be. All right, that we need to hit the off button on our TV sometimes when something ungodly comes up there. But make that bold stand to do that, all right? Alcohol, be very careful, young people. Alcohol starts many of you down the road. Just because you're in a Christian school, you're not immune to it, trust me. All right, be very careful with alcohol. Alcohol, there used to be the alcohol stores, used to be called wine and spirit stores. Spirits, what are we talking about today? They used to call alcohol, there's a demon in that bottle. They used to say that about alcohol, there's a demon in that bottle. Because people do things under the influence of alcohol they would never do when they were sober and straight. Be very, very careful. Okay, drugs. Be very careful, young people. I cannot tell you the number of Christian kids I know struggling with drugs. Okay, from what you think is simple of marijuana to crystal meth and all the things that are out there. Be very careful. Prescription drugs. Be very, very careful. In the book of Revelations, it talks about people that will not repent of their murders, their sorceries. The word underneath the word sorcery is pharmakia, which we get the word pharmacy from. It has to be in reference to drugs. All right? that there are drugs that will take you and open up a dark side, the world that you don't want to walk into, but you can walk in there and do that. Be very, very careful. There's a lady who wrote a book called Johanna Michelson. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil. What an interesting title. The Beautiful Side of Evil. What happened to her was she got involved with demons and stuff like that. The way it happened to her was she was in the theater department at a college. And in theater departments, there's a lot of stuff that's demonic that goes around. Matter of fact, Sharon Stone just admitted recently that she was playing this this role. It's actually very common in Hollywood. I've heard more than one person say this. She was playing this role. She said, "I almost felt like the spirit of that person took me over and played themselves out as I was doing the acting for this scene." She just described what? She described demon possession. That's exactly what she described. I can't tell you, I have a thing on Hollywood at home, and all these clips of all these actors that will talk about how this, like, some spirit comes upon them, and they just take over in this scene right here, okay? And the spirit leads them through the acting. That's demon possession. That is absolutely dangerous. She got involved with what's called some of the New Age movement called the out-of-body experiences and spirit guides, where they would have this out-of-body experience, and you could actually choose a spirit guide when you left your body. Well, she grew up Christian, so she chose who? She chose Jesus to be her spirit guide. So this Jesus came. So every time she had this out-of-body experience, she'd go down and have this experience, and Jesus would lead her through this world that's out there. Well, one of her Christian friends who knew the Word of God and knew truth, okay, looked at her and said, "Excuse me, okay, do yourself one simple question. The next time that happens, ask that Jesus person, are you the Jesus of the Bible?" All right? So the next time she had this out-of-body experience, Jesus came around, she can speak. I've heard people tell me they can talk with these beings on the other side. She talks with this spirit guide, said, "Are you the Jesus of the Bible?" She literally said, this Jesus figure starts, the face starts cracking down the middle, the face cracks open to the side, and this werewolf-like head pops out right at her just like that. See, she was messing with a demon, all right? Because demons are very real, as we've described before. Be very careful. She decided she had to get out of this. So this Christian that was witnessing to her, do you witness to people like this? Are we supposed to? Oh, yeah. Because they're searching for truth, all right? She had to go up this hill to get up to this lady's house. It was an older woman that just loved the Lord and had been witness to her for just all. She knew her as a kid, kept witnessing to her. She goes up this narrow path to get up to this lady's house. She literally says she keeps getting knocked over. Just keeps getting knocked over. She's going up this narrow. What did we say earlier? Demons can be what? Physical. They were knocking her over. She finally gets to the door. She's able to open up the door of this house and get inside. She's inside talking with this woman, okay? They were beginning to pray, all right, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? They began to pray to receive Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, she said, God opened up her eyes. And when he opened her eyes, she could see the windows of this house. And at all these windows, there were these smaller winged creatures with these red beaded eyes all beating against the window trying to get into that house. What did God allow her to see? Saw all the demons that had been knocking down, chasing after her. See, this is a serious game, folks. Okay, there's going to be a winner when it's said and done. The question is, who's going to win it out in your life? That's what you have to decide, okay? Now, as we close this here, first statement, just remember this, okay? You don't play around with this. All right? Listen to me. There should be nothing that intrigues you on the inside to even want to get close to any of this. Don't let anything I've said this morning intrigue you, one of those stories to intrigue you, because this is dangerous stuff. I speak at a camp called Summit Ministries. We're in Colorado a couple years ago, and a buddy of mine, Dr. Martin, a girl came to him. She's into witchcraft, heavy witchcraft. She was at the camp this summer. She said, "I am really thinking about this Jesus stuff, okay? I just want you to pray for me." So he began to pray over her, okay? Prayed over her, prayed for the demons to leave her and everything, okay? And that she would get serious. But then he told her, "Tonight, you go memorize Psalm 91 and come see me tomorrow morning." All right? Interesting thing, when she came to him the next morning, she knew the entire Psalm 91, had memorized it in one night, just like that. Okay, this girl was serious about getting right with God, okay? 20, 30 minutes later, Dr. Martin gets a knock on his door. He said, "Dr. Martin, we need you." He comes down the hall, he runs. There's a group of boys in one of the boys' room, four boys, are all in the corner kneeling, in the corner praying. He's like, "What? What's up?" He said, these boys were laying in bed. All of a sudden, the bathroom door inside their bathroom, the thing just opened up and opened. So a boy got out of his bed, he went and closed the door. And they felt this really cold, cool presence come in, a very common thing when a demon can enter. All of a sudden, they're sitting there in bed, the door opens up for a second time. Just opens back up. The boy got out of bed, closed that door a second time. The door opens up for a third time. Okay, these boys knew something was not right. They dove to that floor, began to pray. They came and got Dr. Martin. You ready for this? One of the boys made the statement that morning, "You know what, I think it'd be really cool to see a demon sometime." He made that statement in the morning. About 12 hours later, his dream that he didn't want to happen actually came true. You don't play with this. I don't even want to see a demon in my entire life. Don't want to see one, because I know they're real. Okay? But the thing you must remember is you always have power over these, okay? Because you battle the flesh, the world, and Satan. That's what you're battling today. Your flesh, the world, and Satan. And you are going against this. The question is, who's going to win this battle? Go to Psalm 91 for me to get ready to close for you. Book of Psalms, middle of your Bible. Go to Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 91. Go to verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. Listen to me. Does God, can God's angels protect you? Can they protect you? Oh, you better believe this. You better understand, you have the protection on your side. There's one angel in the Old Testament that killed 185,000 people just like that. God's angels are amazing. People I know that have seen the other side have seen God's angels. They're not little tiny baby cherub angels that you see on those checks and stuff like that. They're 8 or 9 foot power brokers of God, okay, with swords, okay, fighting angels that are out here to protect. One of my buddies, a big strong minister, his son broke his thigh bone playing football. So he was in the hospital. They had to put a metal rod in his leg. He told the doctor, when my son comes out of, what's it, ICU, is that what it's called? ICU. When he comes out of there, I want to be there for him, all right? So he sees the doctor walking down the hall a little bit later, and he said, how's my son Caleb doing? He said, well, he's already gone back to his room. He said, didn't I tell you to tell me when he came out? He said, I thought someone told you. Now, my buddy is 6'5", about 330. He's a former NFL player, okay? I would let him know anything he wants, okay? Well, he goes hustling up to his room, hustles up to Caleb. He walks into Caleb and said, Caleb, I'm so sorry I wasn't here when you came out. He said, oh, it's okay, Dad. Uncle so-and-so was here. He said, who? He said, Uncle so-and-so. He said, Caleb, we don't have an Uncle so-and-so. He said, yeah, the guy in the brown suit that was here. He walked out just before you walked in the room, Dad. He said, what? So he goes walking outside. He looks around, doesn't see anybody in a brown suit, walks up to the nurse's station. Have you ever seen this guy? No one saw this guy. What did God allow to happen there? He just allowed an angel to happen. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, entertain strangers because you could be entertaining angels. He just allowed the angel to manifest. That's okay, Mr. McCoy. I'm going to take care of your son. Because he's a godly man, and godly men, God takes care of their sons, okay? Because he had prayed for that to happen. See, you must understand the power is on our side. The power is with the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. That's why you never get intrigued with this, all right? Go to Psalm 104. I'm sorry, back up there. Go to Psalm 34. Let me change that. I got to cut something out here. Go to Psalm 34. Go to 34. Verse 7, all right? 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He will camp around you and protect you. I always pray for God's protection when I'm on the streets out witnessing, when I go out, when I get on airplanes. I pray God will not put me on any airplane I'm not supposed to get on. That plane's going down. It's not my data guy. God, stop me from getting on that airplane, okay? I got to make sure I'm underneath his hand as I walk out. The Bible says, remember, resist the devil. What does it say right before that in James chapter 4? Submit to God and resist the devil. You must make sure God has total control, young people, of every area of your life. Every area. Because all Satan wants is a little foothold to pull you away from that, okay? Think about that. Spirit week, it should be Holy Spirit week. Okay, we're going to see how the Holy Spirit's going to work in every area of my life, all right? Go to verse Revelations 12. We'll get ready to close this for you, okay? Go to Revelations 12. Know what your Bibles say, folks. This is your text that you do test everything against. Go to Revelations 12. Go to verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. How many of the angels fell with him? How many? A third of them. That means you have God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and 2/3 of all the angels. Where's all the power at? power's on your side. God's side if you're born again. Never forget that. That's why I don't fear this stuff. I know it's real, but I don't fear it because I know where the power's at. Okay, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heavens, now is time, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. That's what I loved about those teenage girls that died by being beheaded. They loved God so much more than death because their dreams came true when they took that last breath and they're now with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye in the heavens, you dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and the seal of the devil is come down upon you. Having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows his time is short. If you're down by 7 points in the football game Friday night, and there's two minutes left, you fellas know what do you got to do? Got to pick the pace up. You got to give everything you got those last 2 minutes because you know your time is short. All right. If Satan knows his time is short, he's trying to do anything he can to get anybody to come to hell with him. Anybody. 3 weeks ago, I'm speaking in Rome, Georgia. Remember those near-death experience stories I told you about hell last time I was here? A lady starts talking and said, I need to tell you a story. I said, all right. My father flatlined and died. He had a coma. He was in a coma for 3 months, but he had a blood transfusion and he flatlined. All right. She said, when he flatlined, he told me 2 years later, he couldn't even speak about it. It was so strong in his life that he was going down almost an escalator type thing, but he knew he was going down. As he kept going down, he could feel the heat begin to rise up. As he kept going down, he noticed that he could see flames down there. He kept getting closer and he realized it was a lake of fire that he saw. As he kept getting closer, he could hear people screaming. He decides to look over this little escalator thing, and all he can see is all these demons jumping up and trying to grab him. So the demons are doing everything they can in the short time to get anybody they could and drag him to a place called hell. That's what you have to realize. One of my high school friends, Lisa, I was talking with her the other day, and she told me that her mother-in-law died. Ready for this? They were in the hospital room as her mother-in-law died. I think it was two weeks before, her husband witnessed to his mom one more time. His mom looked at her son and said, honey, you can choose your Jesus, all right? I'm going to choose my good works when I die, and I'll be okay with God. Was that lady correct? She was so far from correct. She's in the hospital, and she's getting ready to flatline and die. As she's getting ready, all of a sudden she begins to flatline. They said her eyes opened up huge like that. She started screaming, but nothing came out. She said, voice like that. She flatlines and she dies. She comes back. She had beautiful white skin. It turns all grayish color, starts wrinkling. Her eyes go big. Her mouth opens again and she starts screaming. She dies 3 different times. And then she took her last breath and she died. Later that night, Lisa's husband looked at her at their house and said, honey, did you see that demon come upon my mother? And she said, yes, I did. See, Satan knows his time is short. He's giving us time to repent and get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the choice has to be yours to do that. Which choice are you going to make? I had a nurse last week in Mississippi tell me the exact same thing happened to her patient. Eyes got big, started screaming, nothing came out. Okay, and she knew where that person was going, okay? Go to 2 Kings and we'll close it for you, okay? 2 Kings chapter 6. So before the book of Psalms, all right? One of the most fascinating pieces of scripture before Chronicles. Go to 2 Kings 6. And go to verse 14. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. 2 Kings 6, verse 14. Just to show you where all the power is at. So you know who you really need to follow in this lifetime, okay? 2 Kings 6. Go to verse 14. Watch what happens here, okay? Therefore, send he thither the horses and the chariots and a great host, and they came by night and encompassed the city about. They were in a battle. At nighttime, the enemy came and surrounded the city. If your city's surrounded by the enemy, are you in trouble? Yeah, you're in trouble. Okay, you're in trouble. Wait a minute. Maybe they weren't. All right. Go to verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host encompassed the city, both of horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? How will we win? The whole enemy has encompassed us. Watch what happens, though, verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that with us are more than they that are with them. more than us than they were them. No, that's not true, because they had the bigger army encompassing them. Watch what happens in verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. He got to see all these chariots of fire and horses of fire. What did he allow him to see? All the angels that were around. That's exactly right. The whole city was covered with angels of Almighty God. Guess who was going to win that battle? They were going to win that battle. See, physically it looked like more, but sorry, that just wasn't true. Okay? God had your back. Okay? And then last thing, go to Revelation 20 for you. And don't forget the ultimate destination. Okay? The final destination where Satan's going to go. Revelation 20. This is how you know you've got the power in the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, go to verse 10. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, that's 9, go to 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit. That's 21. I'm a professional speaker. Let's go to 20, verse 10. How about that? Okay. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. The final destination for Satan and the false prophet and the beast will be the lake of fire. You have to understand. The question is, young people, will that also be your destination? That's your choices in the days to come. You have to choose to become born again. You have to choose to repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ. You'll either be with God for all of eternity in heaven, or you're also choosing a lake of fire. What choice will you make? I had students I taught years ago that are still choosing hell over heaven. Terrible choice. Okay? You have to understand the power is on your side if you're a born-again believer, okay? You have to depend upon Jesus Christ and nothing else in the days to come. Alright? Trust Him, Jesus Christ. Trust His cross, alright? Until your very last breath. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for it's a good chance to be here. Father God, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, move across these young people, Father God. That there's not a soul in this room, from a teacher to a student, that is more excited about a football game or Spirit Week than they are about you, Father God. That this is a week we can draw closer to you and become just excited about what the Holy Spirit can do our lives. As we hear stories and verses today, Father God, there is a battle waging around us every single day. But Father, when we're right underneath you, we have your angels that protect us. We are guided by your Holy Spirit. We serve a risen Savior. Father God, we have to fear none of this stuff. We walk out of here under the power of you, Father God. But yet we know, as we met people during this week of break, that have the father of lies as their father. They've been deceived. And Father, it's our job to bring truth to these people. Stir up inside these young people, Father God, and teach them to be bold warriors for you. Warriors who will share your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with lost people day in and day out. They can't wait for a football game to strike up a conversation with someone on the other team. An opposing fan that comes, Father God. A referee, as I know kids witness the referees at all the time, Father God. But they're going to serve you all the days of your life, Father God. Father, let this be a school that is so holy and radical and righteous for you. Satan wants to come mess with this school. But Father God, he will have no play. Because it's a bunch of young people and adults that have repented of their sins, living holy, righteous on that narrow path for you, Father God, that will make a difference in this life. And when they do that for your son, they will make a difference in the life to come. And so we thank you for that, and we do. We ask it in the great, great name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.